What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Update.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Yes, we are.
We come at you 5 days a week.
We do.
It's, you know, it's a lot.
Except for 2 weeks ago.
But you deserve it.
Yes, everyone in Clipper Nation deserves it. I also want to give a shout out. Clipperholics had an article today about how to handle bad bandwagoners. Welcome.
Yeah. With open arms.
The water's fine.
Yeah. I was recently welcomed to a bandwagon for the Ravens.
Is that a bandwagon?
They were the number one ranked defense in the NFL last year.
For the all you defense heads.
You know, it's a big deal. But I bring that up to say that I did, I was on the Locked On Ravens podcast. You guys should definitely check that out. I talked with the host, Kevin, about the Clippers as well. He is actually a huge Western Conference head, so he had some good stuff to talk about as far as, like, the Clippers, biggest rivalries and the hardest games. And I'll be posting snippets from that in the podcast, on social media throughout the week, so stay tuned for that.
Hell yeah.
Today we got a heck of a show lined up for you.
We got a bunch of good stuff.
So, we're going to be kicking things off with just some kind of general Clippers talk. FanSided did a brief article on what they perceived as two of the biggest weaknesses of the Clippers.
Makes sense it was a brief article.
Makes sense, yeah, absolutely. There's not very much to nitpick. So, we're going to be talking about that a little bit. And then today is Thursday. We got a Thirsty Thursday segment for you. We do it every single Thursday. We talk about who and what we're thirsty for, what we want to see some more of. Charles has...
I have two petty ones is what I have, and you have a very realistic one.
Yeah.
That is very good.
We're going to do kind of an in-depth segment on Zubat's development for this Thirsty Thursday, so stay tuned for that. A lot of good stuff in there. Dug through a lot of deep numbers. Just I'm covered in number grease right now. Cracked open the hood, banged around, got the thing running. And then we're going to wrap up with our off-season classic daily segment, Shavings.
Shavings, baby.
We're going to open up the kitchen drawer, see what's kicking around, any sort of loose news, so stay tuned for all of that.
So, yeah, this fan-sided article...
Yep.
The slideshow, if you will.
Yes.
Which, personally, not a fan of.
Why can't articles just be articles?
Just be articles. All right. Anyway, they said that the Clippers' two biggest weaknesses were our size at the center position.
Yep.
They said we had a thin center position. And then just the health of PG and Kawhi.
Yep.
That seems like an accurate... Usually these pieces about the Clippers are, like, wildly off, I feel like, because people don't watch the team.
For sure.
This feels accurate. I'm fine with these being two weaknesses they bring up.
Yeah, so I think that these are things that we've talked about throughout the season or off season,
especially the five. Even
I can't believe
year.
I'm saying season. It feels like Paul George and Kawhi have been on this team my entire life.
Yeah.
And in reality, they have not played a single game.
Nope, not even close.
Not
really,
even
for Paul George.
A preseason. we've kind of talked about this. I think... I'm not so much worried about the thinness of the center position.
You're fine with just having two guys. Three with Fee.
I really am.
Yeah.
I don't know what more you would really need. I thought that...
I think what we would really need, I think a lot of people see it, they need just like 8 minutes for those two guys to not be on the floor, is what it feels like. You know?
Definitely.
I'm not saying that's
definitely
what we need, but I think that's what I think people envision.
I know. And I think for that, though, you have some versatility in, you know, running some kind of different lineups where you maybe have Mo at the four, slot Jamichael in at the five.
Yeah.
So I do think that there's some interesting things you can do. So I'm not worried necessarily about it, like, from a depth perspective. Obviously, TBD, you know, this could change. Given, you know, we don't know what Zubac is going to look like yet. We don't know what he's going to look like in this system. We don't know how big of a jump Trez is going to make.
Based on the offseason stuff, it seems like a jump is there.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm not necessarily worried about the depth. I can see that. I think size overall is a little bit more interesting
okay.
to me to pick apart.
Interesting.
Because that's one thing that even in our center backups, like, there's not the prototypical center size.
Yeah, we have one.
And going small is, I think it's something that gets overrated or overstated.
Yeah.
Because most teams still do have a traditional rim runner.
Yeah, there's a big guy.
Center. Yeah, out there. So I do think that is maybe a little bit more worrisome than the overall depth.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
I think I'm actually on the other way with this. Okay. I'm a little more worried about the depth.
Okay.
Because if, big if,
yeah,
one of those guys goes down, we're in line for probably starting Green at the five, which I like for sure.
And I think Shamit bumps back up.
Yeah, but then we have...
Or you toss Mo in there.
But then we have Trez at the bench, and that just feels kind of like, I guess, a fatigue issue. We haven't seen how the whole team plays yet. So for me, it's like... And then we maybe see some Fee minutes, which could be good, but we don't really know yet. So I think the depth... I'm always a little worried about the depth. Size... We play Trez well on the mismatches.
Mm-hmm.
Like, usually Doc is really good with those rotations. And then Zoo is just big Zoo. So I guess I'm a little more comfortable with the size.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair comparison. Montrez is one of those guys who plays above his size.
Yeah,
punches
for sure.
Above his weight class,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah.
And I think also, though, if you're looking at size front to back, while we definitely, with Shea out of the lineup, lost size at the guard position, I feel like everywhere else we're like a little bit bigger to the same.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, we're down the strongest man in the NBA.
Which, you know, look, that's hard for anyone to deal with.
It's, you know, it's very hard to deal with, but we do have some bodies to throw out there.
And it's not like Shea was, you know, banging around down low. So weight-wise...
No. I'm just talking about general...
Oh,
like,
for sure.
In terms of
length
size
and,
for guards.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean, he's, you know, he's a bigger dude. I think that that's always going to be helpful.
Got those long arms.
Yeah.
He's a ball hawk.
Yeah.
I'd agree with that for sure. So now how do you feel about the PG and Kawhi... weakness? Because I'm not even sure I would even count it as a weakness. I think it was an assumed issue to deal with, which might just be my fan way of saying that I don't see it as a weakness.
I mean,
we knew it coming in.
It's a calculated risk.
That's exactly what it is.
You know,
it's
like the thing is you'd be hard pressed to show me a player with the sort of impact that Kawhi and Paul George have, given how high their usage rates are, that hasn't had an injury. And the only person I can really think of is LeBron.
Yeah. Yeah, you're totally right.
He's
played literally like the most basketball of anyone in the world.
For sure. And so it's one of those things that, like, I can't say that it's not a concern, but I would call it a calculated risk.
Definitely a concern. But we have that built-in load management.
We have, there already is a roadmap to keeping Kawhi healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul George... Maybe I'm understating these injuries. For some reason, the shoulder thing just does not concern me very much. It's just like, it's such a recoverable injury. I don't think it's going to affect his range of motion a whole lot.
Yeah.
I don't know how it would possibly affect his shooting mechanics. You know, because it's
like
they're
not changing.
Yeah, because it's like something
for sure
that's already so drilled in.
Yeah.
I feel like they'd really have to screw up the surgery. For
oh,
like,
God, don't even put that out
for
there.
For like his
yeah
shooting mechanics to be thrown
yeah
off. And so in that way, it bothers me. It's less worrisome to me than like a lower body injury. Even though people recover from ACLs and MCLs and all that stuff all the time now.
Oh, yeah.
I still think that that's going to have more of an effect on your overall mobility and...
your lift when you shoot. I'd much rather have someone deal with a shoulder injury than a knee injury. And because of yesterday, we know how they're going to treat it.
Yeah.
There's rehab. Yeah, the health stuff, and I... weak health just always seems like a weakness for any team that has two guys you rely on.
Oh.
You know, it's an issue for the Lakers.
Yeah.
If one of their big two gets hurt, it's a little grim. It's an issue for bad teams. It's an issue for the Suns. It's like...
I mean, it's an issue for the Warriors. It arguably costs them a championship. This happens to anybody.
Yeah, and a big part of winning a championship is injury luck.
And I don't know how you plan around it. Like, you just try to... find a roster of guys
look
that have never been hurt and hope that that trend continues?
You go down to your local incense shop and you buy a bunch of sage.
Okay.
And you sage the whole building. And
okay,
you're fine.
Make a drive to the Bay. All
yeah
right.
But that was my... I said this up top, but like, it is a short list for weaknesses because these are really the only two weaknesses, other than maybe a true distributor, that you can find with this roster.
I'd agree.
Oh, also, fun fact... today is the day that it is actually possible for Iguodala to be traded with his salary.
All right.
Which I got into some heated debates with some people on Twitter who apparently think that Iggy is the one thing that puts us over the top. That don't make no sense.
I mean...
We're not one...
We talked about this.
Player
I'm like,
away. You're exhausted. I just had to bring it up because it's the day.
I'm exhausted on the Iggy stuff. I gotta be honest. I don't think that he moves the needle that much. And that's not to discredit anything that he's done so far. He's a good player. He's been a solid
contributor.
He's a Hoffer, in my opinion.
For sure.
But
I'm not giving up two guys to get him.
I'm not giving up two guys to get him.
I'm not. It's crazy. Oh, man. Coming up after this, we have an updike deep dive into Zubat's development.
Oh, yeah.
This is some good stuff in here. Want to give a shout out to Locked On NFL, specifically that Locked On Ravens podcast, for having William Updike on there, new fan. I'm going to have to try and hop on that Locked On Dolphins one.
Oh, absolutely.
That host knows so much. Travis Wingfield knows so much more about the Dolphins than I do.
Oh, yeah. Kevin Ostreicher knows. I mean, it's not hard, but he knows way more about the NFL.
All the Locked On NFL hosts are absolute wealths of knowledge for your local team. Check that out.
Perfect mix of, like, good...
hard analytics without hard going analytics, over your head.
Good conversation.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff.
They're all... this is going to sound like a negative, but it's not. They all... are homers in the sense that they're true fans. Not
absolutely.
That they're homers as in like they have blinders on or anything like that.
Definitely. Coming up after this, some Thirsty Thursdays.
All right. Go.
Whoa. Dude, you're thirsty.
Believe me. You just
chugged that whole very real drink down.
I'm parched.
So what do you got for us today?
All right. So do you want to kick it off with the petty stuff? Just because I don't know how long the Zubat stuff. I mean, we could talk for hours about this.
Yeah, let's kick off with some petty stuff. So I have two petty. I have one petty thirsty and one petty edemaed.
Gotcha. What do you got?
Thirsty for an actual normal ass release for Kawhi's shoe.
Yeah. Okay. So
what are they doing?
New Balance. You have one athlete. Other than they have a pretty good skateboarding roster, but
yeah, they got
basketball.
Jimmy Foy.
You're trying to kick off your basketball stuff.
A gray colorway of his Omnis dropped today. They sold out in 2 minutes, is what Matt Chong told me.
Because
he got the email.
100 pairs.
So there's 100 pairs. Why? I want to buy these shoes. You want to buy these shoes, maybe?
Oh, for sure.
There's a whole country of people that maybe want to buy the shoes up in Canada.
And it's the best looking New Balance basketball shoe that's ever been made.
Yes. I don't understand what their strategy is. They're not a boutique brand. No one's reselling these because there's no hype for them yet.
People are reselling them.
But they're not actually, you know what I'm saying? They're posted on StockX and stuff, but they're not being moved. They're not a coveted item yet.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like there's no hype built around it.
Well, it's hard to build hype when you don't see people wearing something.
Yeah. I'm just confused as what the hell they're doing.
I'm just surprised that it's gone on for so long. Part of me thought that some of the initial trepidation, or I don't even know if you call it that, but hesitance to release the shoe just had to do with the market that he was in. Like maybe they thought Toronto wouldn't be a large enough draw.
They do not wear shoes in Canada. That is a fact, actually.
I believe it. I think you're born with ski feet.
Yeah, they do foot binding, but for your ski feet. The other thing that I am a demon of is NBA 2K being the leak for court designs and jersey stuff. I think it's the lamest way for things to be leaked out. Like the Clippers black court motif, like the actual one, not the Los Angeles one, the like court, was confirmed today from people who got the game earlier. Why does this game have such a hold on the league? The weird thing is I like video games. I have no logic for why I don't like this. It just feels like it rubs me the wrong way. It feels like you can't. It feels like if you're an NBA fan, you also have to play 2K, which I think is complete bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, I agree and disagree with you. As a non-gamer, it's just kind of like, this is.
If you're a non-gamer, totally a non-issue.
I don't know. Like you said, it is a little bit of a pain that like this is like the plug on team stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like kind of.
It kind of sucks.
But I can also see, like, I think that it is cool that, this game that anyone all over the world can play is, like, so deeply at the same time integrated with this league in, like, kind of a significant way. So, I mean, I see both sides of the argument. I'm personally, like, not a fan.
Yeah.
But I do see the draw, and I do think that it's cool that you can involve, like,
everybody.
In, like, a active way, I guess.
And I will say, as soon as the Clippers get a 2K team, I'll be riding and dying for that 2K team all day. But until then, I don't know. Give me regular. Just let me get my news from the team. Let me get my leaks from, like, a random dude, not someone who just got 2K. It almost feels too easy for the leakers, I should say.
Yeah.
Used to have work for leaks. All right, let's get into the Zubat. Thank you for listening to me be petty. Let's get into this Updike Zubat's talk.
All right, so what I'm thirsty for on this fine Thursday is some Zubat's development.
Some would argue he is developing.
Some would. last year's stats, I'll just breeze through these too fast. Average 9-6-1. Fine.
Less than fine, but yeah.
Fine. Offensive rating, 113. Defensive rating, 108.
I'm okay. I like that. I like that better than the averages.
Net plus five. Pretty solid.
Yeah.
So looking at his numbers, he had a weird drop in production from his rookie season to his sophomore season. Mm-hmm. He played a lot less. I don't really know. I wasn't following the Lakers close enough to be able to tell you what went on there.
That's probably good.
But his numbers from 17-18, which was admittedly a slump season, to 18-19, mm-hmm. did improve.
Okay.
And they improved even above his rookie numbers.
Damn.
So he saw an 18% increase in field goal percentage.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if that trend can continue.
I feel like it has to with how rough some of the stuff around the rim was last year.
Yeah, so even with that, he was at 56% last year, effective field goal percentage.
Yeah.
And if he can increase another 18%, that puts him at the 66% mark, which would be better than Trez.
Oh, man. Anything even sniffing Trez and I'm fine.
Absolutely. And I'm not saying for any listener out there that he's going to be better than Trez.
We're talking percentages.
They're incomparable players.
Yeah.
To me, even though they both play the five.
Yeah.
So, yeah. He increased attempts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool to see that even with that, his field goal percentage is staying better. And I think that we can see, I think we can reasonably account for an 18-20% increase in his field goal percentage.
Damn. Okay. He missed some easy ones last year. If you really watch Zoo around the rim, there are some times where it was very clear that he was playing with two busted fingers, one on each hand.
I think he's never been able to establish a good vocabulary or rapport with a passing teammate.
Okay.
I think there's been too much flux for another organization that he played for. I'm not very familiar with them. and then he just didn't have enough games, I feel like, to really build up a good chemistry with guys here. I actually talked to him about it in the locker room. Maybe I'll post that sometime later about the relationship that he felt he was developing with Shea, but now that is out the window. Oof. However,
my heart.
He will have two healthy hands.
He will have two
coming
healthy
into
hands.
The season this yes. year. So I think that can't be overstated. His free throw percentage has improved every year he's been in the league.
Which is your favorite stat for a big man?
It really is.
It's like genuinely.
It really, really is. So he saw an 18% increase from his rookie year to sophomore year, even though that was the year that a lot of his other stats kind of dipped,
mm-hmm.
his usage dipped. And then he still had a 5% increase last year.
Does that give you confidence in maybe an out? Further, I shouldn't say outside shot because I feel like people assume 3-point shot when I say that. Does that give you a little more confidence maybe with his range?
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely. And he hasn't ever attempted a 1-3 per game or maybe even any. It's never been enough to list it in his box score.
It's this year, baby.
I'm fine keeping things that way. But I do think that you know, is an indication of your shooting form. And I think that 80% number is not a fluke. I think that he will at worst sustain that. And possibly better it. I think that he's going to be looking at a lot more attempts this year.
Yeah, a lot more attempts. I think it might go down maybe around like the 76, 78 range. But that, like a 2% deviation, if his attempts go up a bunch from the free throw line, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'd really like to see him getting to the line more.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So essentially, like his offense... Well, what would you say, like, just from the eye test, what are your perceived strengths and weaknesses for Olde Vita?
The weaknesses are his hands sometimes seem like they're made of stone.
Mm-hmm.
I said this last year that there's a thing in the MLB that players do who don't wear batting gloves where they pee on their hands to make the skin harder.
That sounds awful.
It's very weird. He needs to do whatever the opposite of that is.
Yeah.
He needs to bathe his hands in lotion. It's not what you're about to say.
Okay.
He needs to either put his hands in just the hands seem a little stony sometimes.
Yeah.
And then the only other real weakness for me is just getting a little lost on defense against a heavily motion-oriented offense.
Agreed. And I think these stats essentially back everything that you're saying.
Yeah.
Really offensively is, I think, where he has the most room for improvement.
Yeah, his positives are aggressiveness. He has a nose for the ball.
He does. He's like willing to contest everything.
Oh, yeah. He's willing to get dunked on.
Oh, yeah.
Which we both love. And like you said with this thing about Shea, he's willing to work on a rapport. I think some guys, if they have a rapport with someone, they're like, dope, this is my guy. And if they don't, with another person, they think, well, who cares? I got this guy.
Yeah.
But I think Zoo is a guy who is... when you're in the locker room, everyone likes Zoo.
Everyone does like Zoo.
Like, it's really cool to see. It's definitely, like, I think he's trying to build that with everybody. So I think that's going to go a super long way with ball movement and everything like that.
Yeah, and I do think, you know, we have been kind of hard on him, but I do think that he's a good teammate.
Yeah.
So, essentially, if you're looking at his numbers offensively compared to, like, the average player, like, we're talking, like, Vorpier.
Which, give me that.
Don't let your eyes glaze over. Essentially, like, this is a calculation over, like, against, like, minimum salary level guys, what they would consider to be an average player.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I think that it's a nice baseline comparison to really see how good or how bad someone is.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not necessarily set in stone. So his value over replacement offensively is about a minus two.
That's not good.
Which is, you know, less than average, below average.
Yeah.
So not great.
Heartedly below average.
But he is a plus 0.7 defensively, which doesn't sound like a lot, but I think at the center position, it's somewhat worthwhile.
You need it. He shored up our interior defense. We talked about it yesterday. It was like he was big in that.
Yes. And just going off of that, like, while it doesn't sound necessarily that impressive, his value over replacement defenders has improved, like, it's improved every year over year.
Damn.
So he saw a 66% improvement in his defensive value over a replacement from his rookie to second year, which is huge. And then that number went up by 100% from last season, where he did have a little bit of a downturn, but not in his defensive production.
So you could say he's learning.
He is learning.
Or trying to.
So, yeah, this leads us into the rest of our, like, kind of defensive improvements that I think he could make.
Mm-hmm.
So, overall, his value over replacement is about a 0.5.
Hey,
and this
above
puts him,
average.
This puts him in the top 175 in the league.
That's not bad.
It's an equal number to Shamit, which I thought was pretty interesting.
That's super weird, actually.
Well, it's... The thing is if you look at it with context,
yeah.
Context. Obviously,
what the hell is context?
Obviously, you know, Shamit's offensive value over replacement is decently high, you know, for what he does in his, like, somewhat limited role that
Definitely.
He's played so far. But defensively, you know, leaves some to be desired.
Maybe something there.
He's getting better. And I just wanted to compare him because we've been talking about him forever. Joakim Noah's overall for last
hell
season.
Yeah.
Was a 0.6, so he's roughly 10% better than Zubats. But the thing is, once again, context here, you got to factor in that Zubats will be ideally improving over the offseason. He's very young still.
Hasn't had a full season, even a full half season with us. That All-Star break thing puts a things in people's minds that it is half of the season, and I think people forget that it's like a third or a quarter of the season.
He's also bounced around. He's never played more than 60 games in a season. This will be
Damn.
His first season playing more than 60 games. So I do think that we're going to see improvements.
I'm jacked, dude.
Just digging into this defense a little bit more. Just digging into this defense a little bit more. Blocks per game, nothing to write home about. He's like one per game.
Let's get that number up.
Yeah, I don't know
how
much.
I want that number higher.
I don't know how much of an improvement we can really see in this department, but... Who knows?
I want to see one more block a game.
He's so aggressive that I don't think that, like, two a game is unattainable. That would be a lot, but
it'd be rotund, but still, it's there.
And defensive rating, you know, we talked about his warp, so it's like pretty much the same. He's 110, which to me is like the threshold for what I would call pretty good defense.
And as scoring goes up as it does every year, I'm like, cool, 110, great. The whole team is 110. We're gonna win every game.
Yeah, it's like, all right, like it's okay.
Yeah.
So, and interior defense. Now, this is the thing that
this
I think...
This is huge.
This is the thing that I think we've been talking about the most. We talked about it in the fan-sided article. Everyone is worried about the depth at the center position. Obviously, I don't think scoring is going to be a problem. I don't think a scoring center is anything that's, like, holding this team back.
No.
Especially when you can just toss Trez in there.
Yeah, exactly.
However, I do think interior defense is something that a lot of people would think is a weakness for the Clippers. So... Digging into Zubats' stats, anytime he is contesting a shot within 6 feet, last season he was in the top 10 of all centers that played at least 50 games that season.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. So when going against him, when he was contesting shots, opposing players had a field goal percentage of 52.3%. So he's stopping it almost half the time.
He's top 10.
He's able to contest
it. Around 6 feet.
That's pretty solid. This puts him in the thick of rim protectors like Robin Lopez.
Okay.
It's slightly below competitors like McGee, Favors, and Gobert.
Well, two of those are much better than the other one.
yeah. But, like, you know, it's still a positive stat.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that we could see a jump in his defensive production. Not by a lot, but I think that...
Noticeable.
I think noticeable. I think that we'll need him to do more, especially inside of 6 feet.
Yeah.
So the other thing is rebounding. This has been a problem for the Clippers.
Six is not good.
He hasn't averaged a lot. However, his box outs on rebounds look pretty promising. So anytime he's getting in between the player and the basket,
mm-hmm.
He does this defensively about four times a game, which is, you know, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
That puts him in the top 40 league-wide at the center position.
Yeah.
This number is equal to Julius Randle numbers. It's more than Anthony Davis, more than Andre Drummond, more than Harry Giles. So he's boxing out.
That's good.
You know,
I'd like to see that.
To me, that's an effort stat.
Yeah.
You know, when you're putting the box out in, you're good.
For sure.
So on these box outs, they generated about 2.3 team rebounds a game and one player rebound. So yeah, a little over three.
Yeah.
Rebounds a game just from these box out. So this puts him in line. Like, these are McGee numbers. They're a little bit lower than like your Al Horford's or Jared Allen's. And for comparison, Montrez generated about two more team rebounds and around the same player rebounds.
Okay.
So it is effective. However, you know, Montrez has done a little bit better job of it, but I think that that's pretty clear by the eye test. You see Montrez.
He plays with a much more energetic, like, yeah.
He bodies up on people,
for sure.
Like a guy who's much larger. And I think that Zubac, even just watching that, we could see a number, we could see these numbers improve. But anyways, at the end of the day, what does all this stuff matter? What does all this contribute to winning, right? That's what we care about. So his defensive win shares, really not impressive thus far. His defensive win shares for last season are about 1.3. It's not good. It's not bad. So it's 186 in the league overall, so he's in the top half. This is all players, mind
for
you.
For sure.
These are kind of Lou Williams numbers for defensive win shares.
Okay, that's not good.
They are better than Joakim Noah's 1.2, so he's got more defensive win shares than Joakim Noah.
Technically, right is the best kind of right.
And Dwight Howard posted a 0.2 last year, so much better than no butt Dwight Howard or whatever the heck his injury was. So what does this mean at the end of the day? It means that, for me personally, I think that it puts Zubats in context with a solid level starter rotation center. Is he in there with the elites?
No,
we knew that.
Yeah.
But I do think that it bolsters the argument that it's worth waiting if for that last roster spot. It's worth waiting.
I like that. That's a great way to wrap it up. I think, yeah, I think anyone, like, the potential, I think, is definitely there for him to be a good starter, a guy who you're like, damn, okay, they got Zubats at the five. For sure. I think, but it's going to take some development, specifically that defensiveness. I didn't realize those numbers were so rough. Not that they tell the whole story, but, I mean, it seems like there's no way they don't go up.
There's just goods. There's goods and bads, you know? And I think...
And he's trending in the goods.
And, you know, I finished up with win shares, but the thing is, you know, there is still some context to be seen with that. He wasn't exactly... Like, there weren't a lot of defensive wins for any team that he's played for.
Yeah, for sure.
So there might
be more this year with how we play.
Yeah.
We're going to have a defensive-ass squad.
I think that that's worth noting. But, you know, overall, I think that things are looking pretty good for Zoo.
Yeah.
I think that what we got him for, you know, it reestablishes that was a steal.
Yes.
And, you know, despite his shortcomings offensively, it's nothing that's not fixable.
Yeah, there's no like black hole in his game.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, I don't know what the hell to do with that.
Yeah, there's nothing
to me.
Which
is what every astronaut says when they see a black hole.
Oh, what do I do with that?
What the hell do I do with this
thing? So yeah, all in all, pretty good.
Man, good deep dive, dude.
Thanks.
That's a good Thirsty Thursday. Coming up after this, real quick shaving segment. So, got to give a shout out to the GOAT, Ralph Lawler, being inducted into the Hall of Fame tonight.
Much deserved.
Much deserved. Had dinner with Bill Walton before the ceremony. What are the chances Bill Walton dosed him?
Oh, man. That'd be sick.
I don't think he would do that, but that would be a night.
Bill Walton tried to dose him, ended up drinking both drinks.
Yeah, he was like, well, I guess I should test it first, and then just flew to the moon is what he did. And then, dude, I know we don't. We try and not specifically rag on other players or the team across the hall.
Mm-hmm.
What is with Dwight Howard's new look, dude?
Oh, it's bad.
Is he the best Tekken fighter?
What's going on with the facial hair, I think, to me, is the most disturbing.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen it, Dwight Howard is rocking a modern look.
I mean, it's summer blonde, so sure.
It's like a summer blonde mop top type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then horizontal tiger striped beard. Would that be an accurate way to describe it?
Kind of. The man does not grow very strong facial hair.
Which is like,
and
dude,
real recognize real. I also don't.
I don't either. And so, I sure as hell wouldn't make a big swing with a tiger striped shaved beard.
Yeah. I didn't like the mustachioed Dwight. I was never a fan. And I'm somehow even less fan of purposeful white trash facial hair of Dwight Howard. He looks like Joe Dirt.
He does kind of look like Joe Dirt. He looks like a striker for an Italian soccer team who thinks he's way better than he is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, damn, that dude has tiger stripe. He must be really good. And then he, like, I don't know, has 0.2 defensive win shares. I don't know. Is there any other shavings you're kicking you want to talk about?
Nah, I don't think so, man.
Let's just get some basketball back.
Yeah.
That's what we all want.
What's happened with FIBA?
I don't know. The USA beat
US beat Japan?
Yeah, by like 45.
Got to play.
Rui put Miles Turner on a poster.
Nice.
Dude, Rui looks legit.
Yeah.
I hope he's good for the Wizards. If there's any Wizards fans listening, what's up? Hope everything's good.
I mean,
good.
He's like the only exciting thing that the Wizards have. I mean, Bradley Beal is great.
Yeah, but not exciting.
Bradley Beal, if I was a fan of that franchise, I would just feel guilty. Dude could be doing so much more.
I completely agree 100%.
He does do a lot for the community, though. Great guy.
Shout out Bradley Beal.
Also, not to bag on Wizards fans. You guys got enough bad going on. I'm sorry. Shout out Hachimura.
We've had a bunch of shit going on until recently.
Hachi Hive, you know.
Hachi Hive. That about wraps it up for us, you guys. Tomorrow, we got a good packed div situation to look at.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking size.
Who the thickest boys?
Who the thickest boys are? We're going to have a size themed pack div rundown. We're going to have a love, marry, kill that we haven't figured out yet, but it's going to be damn good.
It's always spur of the moment.
And then
you can't force these things.
And then whatever else happens between now and then, Clipperland. Thank you so much, you guys, for listening. Check out Will on that Locked On Ravens podcast.
Yeah.
I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I've been William the Opinion Updike.
Thanks for listening, guys.